worshiping and praising the name of our God. Hebrews chapter number 12, and we're going to look at the first seven verses this morning. Hebrews 12, 1 through 7. The title of my sermon is A Race Worth Finishing. This week, as we continue our series, Unshakable, Finding Stability in an Unstable World. Last week, we learned how God uses the storms in life as an invitation to know God more. And how through those storms, if we keep our eyes on Christ, our faith can become unshakable. As you're turning to Hebrews this morning, just to give you some context on what's going on in this chapter, the people that were receiving this letter were Jewish believers. And these Jewish Christians, they were suffering a lot of things at this time. They were suffering loss because of their faith. They were tempted with the temptation to return to Judaism. They were being pulled in different directions about whether to abandon Christ totally or to add Jesus to their salvation. See, their decision to follow Jesus had become costly for them, which is why the theme of the book of Hebrews is Jesus is better. I want you to just imagine with me just for a moment before we look at our text. Imagine with me for a moment losing your friends because you decided to follow Christ. Imagine with me for a moment your family rejecting you. Imagine you losing your possessions, what you knew. Imagine wondering every day if following Christ was worth the cost. This is what these believers are going through at this time, and this was reality for them. And they were weary Christians that needed to be encouraged. And in Hebrews chapter 11, the author gives a pretty clear picture of people who walked in faith, who trusted in God, who had faith in Him, but also how they endured. And the whole purpose is for them to understand that even though it is difficult, even though you're going through these trials, they needed some encouragement to continue enduring as a Christian. The idea is for them to understand that they are not the first to suffer for following God. Look at those who've gone before you. Those who were trusted in God, they also suffered persecution. They were not the only ones to endure hardship. But the truth that they're trying to learn this morning is that God is faithful and will continue to be. We come to our text in Hebrews chapter 12, verse number 1. The Bible says, "Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. Ye have not yet resisted unto blood, striving against sin. And ye have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as unto children. My son, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth." And in verse 7, "If ye endure chastening, God dealeth with you as with sons. For what son is he whom the Father chasteneth not?" God's desire for believers is to finish our course well. God's desire for believers is to finish our course well. In this passage, the Christian life is compared to a race. Every person who has trusted Christ as their Savior has been placed into a race. And in this race, the finish line is at the end of our lives, which is why this race that is being talked about in this passage, it's not considered a sprint, it's considered a marathon. Because it's not something that just ends during our life, it ends, the finish line is at the end of our lives. As I was thinking about this truth, I was reminded of a time when I was in college when they had a special activity. They hosted a 5K. And those who were in the college could participate in that 5K. They could, it's about 3 miles, and whoever wanted to join, they could. And in this 5K, there were people who had ran before. There were people who had never run a mile in their lives. So they had all sorts of people participating in this race. I remember as I was working, I was watching them. They were getting registered. They were putting the number on the paper, and they were putting it on their shirts. And people were stretching. People were excited. They were like, oh, how fast are you going to run? How well are you going to do this? There was excitement in the air. And I remember as soon as the gun went off, as soon as they said go, I could just see all the dust stirring up as people started to run as they started this race. But then as I was observing, I noticed something very interesting. Those same people that started well, that were excited about running this race, all of a sudden, they got tired. All of a sudden, they started to move off to the side, getting attended to with their injuries, people stopping for water. These were people that had started the race so well, so excited to run this race, but then as time went on, they started to get discouraged and stop. Many of them kept going, but it definitely wasn't as easy as many people thought. Now, God's desire for us as Christians as we run this race is not to be like that. You see, his purpose for us as we are running our course is that we not just start well, but in this race that we also finish well. Which brings us to a very personal question this morning. How are you running your race? How are you doing in the Christian life this morning? Are you enduring? Are you running well? In this passage, I want us to notice three truths about how we ought to remember how we should run our race well. First of all, look at what we see in verse number one. Notice, first of all, our responsibility. Look what it says in verse number one. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses. The encouragement begins by saying that we are surrounded by a great cloud of witnesses. That's what that word compassed means. It means that people that are surrounding them. And in this particular context, it's speaking about those mentioned in Hebrews 11, those people who walked in faith, who endured the race, who went through difficult times and had faith in God. But it's also talking about all those people that have gone before us. I'm sure many of us in this room can think of people who have passed on but have been faithful in their race as a Christian, faithfully serving God. And we have their toast testimony and how they lived their lives as an encouragement for us to also run our race well. But as we continue in verse number one, we see some responsibilities that we have as a Christian as we run our race. First of all, notice it says, let us lay aside every weight. We ought to lay aside those things which hinder us from running our race well. As I drive up and down these streets here in Hayfield and then in Manchester Lakes, I notice something that's a common theme. There are many people here who enjoy running, whether that's in the morning, whether that's in the evening, going up and down the hill. There are many people who run, but also they also like to wear weighted vests. And I tell you, as I noticed that, I'm just like, why are you putting yourself through that type of pain? You know, they're running up a hill, but they have vests on. But that is, there's a reason for that. They want to be challenged. They want to push themselves so that they can run and have endurance. But in a race, you won't see many of them show up with weights. Usain Bolt is considered to be the fastest man on earth. He still has world records that have not been broken. But Noah Lyles is also considered to be one of the fastest people to run in the Olympics. But if you have watched any of their highlights or seen when they compete in the Olympics, you know that you won't see any of those people show up ready to race with weighted vests on. Vests on their body, vests on their ankles. You're not going to see that. Why? Because they want to run the race well. And they are going to set aside those things that are going to hinder them from running well. See, as Christians, as we are in our race, if we are going to run and finish well, we need to lay aside those things that hinder us from doing that. And not, they may not necessarily be sinful, but they may distract us. They may consume our time. Many of us may have busy schedules. As we come out of the summertime and going into the fall, as school starts to begin soon, we have different agendas and appointments that we have to make, and it can get very busy. Many times that can distract us from running our race well as a Christian. There are many things, other things that can consume our time, entertainment, social media. And I had a professor in school that would always say, we all make time for what's important for us. And many times we can choose to do something else, but we all make time for what is important to us. You know, anytime we say yes to something, we're always saying no to something else. And we have to decide, are we going to say no to those spiritual things? Are we going to say no that's going to help us run our race well? Are we going to say no to those things that will help us grow and draw closer to Christ? Or are we going to say no to those things? Those things we may think, oh, if I put it to the back burner, if I just hold off for a little bit while I focus on these other things, then we're not running our race well. You see, we may recognize sin, but do we properly identify those things that may distract us from running our race well? As we live the Christian life, we tend to carry things that we shouldn't carry, don't we? We tend to have anxiety, worry, bitterness, unforgiveness, fear, comparing ourselves to others. All these things that we have and we decide to carry on our own, those are all things that are distracting us and hindering us from running our race well. Notice what 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 7 says, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. See, when we are focused on all those weights, all those unnecessary burdens, we tend to not run well. But notice, verse 1 continues, not just that we should lay aside every weight, but also, and the sin which doth so easily beset us. That word beset, it carries the idea that it refers to also, it also surrounds us, but for a very different reason. We looked at it in verse 1, how the cloud of witnesses that surrounds us, and that has the idea of encouraging us along the way. But this word that says so easily beset, it also surrounds us, but the part of that word means that to trip us up, to make us stumble, to make us fall. And that's what it's referred to in this case. It refers to the sin that surrounds us to make us fall. As I think of Hebrews chapter 11 and all those people that are mentioned there that had faith in God, none of them were perfect. They all made mistakes. They all struggled. They stumbled. They fell. When we think of David, a man after God's own heart, he stumbled and he fell with Bathsheba. Achan, when he was given a commandment from God not to take of the silver or the garments, he disobeyed. They stumbled and they fell, but also look what it cost them. For Achan, it cost him his life, his family's life. For David, he had punishment throughout his life, his family always trying to take the throne from him, him losing his son. The sin that surrounds us, that trips us up, we need to get back up. But it's important to realize that when we trip and we fall into sin, it has consequences. It costs something. But I think it's interesting the way it says it so easily besets us. See, it's not something that we can carry. We need to lay aside those weights, but we also need to be aware of the sin that surrounds us to trip us. You see, we can't carry sin. Sin is something that will never help you in this race. Hanging on to sin and carrying it with you, it's not going to benefit you in the long run. It's not going to help you endure. Ultimately, it's just going to trip you up. In the context of Hebrews, this is the sin of unbelief. This is what they were struggling with. Notice what Hebrews chapter 3, verse 12 through 13 says. Take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. See, they were tempted to abandon what they had learned and what they had received and going back to the old ways of what they were doing before Christ. But notice what it says in verse 13 as well. But exhort one another daily, while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. See, one of the main sins that causes us to trip is pride. Something that we can easily get ourselves tangled in. We ask ourselves, what do I want? What do people think of me? Why didn't I get recognized? Why should I have to apologize? I can do things in my own strength. Ultimately, that pride is going to cause us to trip. Because that's sin. You see, our goal shouldn't just be to stumble along and just get through the race at the end of our lives. Our goal and God's desire is that we finish well. As verse 1 continues, it says, and let us run the race, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. That's how we ought to run this race, with endurance. See, that word race, it refers to a struggle, an agony. Why is it a struggle? Why is this race a struggle? Well, it's because of everything that's around us. You see, if you have received Jesus as your Savior, the Christian life, it's not always going to be about victories, even though I'm thankful for the victories that we have because of Christ. We sang about that this morning. I'm thankful for the times that God has answered our prayers and we have mountaintop experiences. But as we learned last week, there will be storms. There will be temptations. There will be struggles. There will be difficult times. And how can we overcome that? Well, it's definitely not by relying on our own strength and what we can do, but we have to rely on God's strength. Notice what Isaiah chapter 40, verse 31 says, but they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. Waiting on God is admitting that my strength isn't enough. I need His. You see, God doesn't promise that we won't be tired, but He does promise that He will supply us strength when we need it. And the verse continues, they shall mount up with wings as eagles. They always thought the picture of eagles was always very interesting. I remember growing up, and I went to see my dad in his office, and he was watching YouTube videos. And I said, Dad, what are you watching? He said, oh, I'm watching eagles. And I thought, oh, eagles are pretty cool. And I said, what are you watching them do? And he said, I'm watching eagles drop their prey from high in the sky and see how they roll down the mountain and die. I thought, okay, that's pretty cool. I want to watch that as well. But I thought something very interesting with eagles is anytime you see a video of them, they're always flying high. They're always soaring. And as I thought about that picture and what the way the verse says in Isaiah 40, verse 31, that if we have God's strength, if we live the Christian life and make decisions not on our strength but on God's strength, it's like an eagle because we soar above our problems. We soar above our situations because God is more than your problem. God is more than your situation. He has the strength and He is more than able to help you. Amen. Then it continues, they shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. See, God doesn't always remove those things that makes us weary, even though we wish He would. But He gives us the strength to get through it. How can we remain faithful in this race? Well, it's about opening your Bible again. It's about praying again. It's obeying God again. If we are going to run the race well, we need to lay aside those weights. That's our responsibility. But also, notice secondly, we also need to understand our focus. First of all, our responsibility. Secondly, notice our focus. Look what it says in verse number 2. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before Him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. So we understand that if we are going to run the race well, we need to set aside those weights. We need to be careful of those things that are around us. But we also need to have the right focus. And I love verse 2 starts out. It gives us the focus immediately. It says, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. This doesn't mean that He is just the beginner and the finisher, but He is the source. He is our example. He is the one who brings our faith to completion. Why do we look to Jesus? Because He has given us the perfect example of what it means to run and complete a race. He never stumbled. He never sinned. As long as our eyes are on Christ, we'll have the strength to keep running. I don't tend to be an English major or a grammar guru, but that word looking, it's a present active participle. What does that mean? Well, this is a continuous and ongoing action. Looking unto Jesus means that we have to always be looking and focused on him. See, the Christian life isn't lived by one glance at Jesus on a Sunday morning. The Christian life can't be lived by reading one verse in the Bible for the week. It's lived by continually looking to him and focusing on him every single day. I'm going to ask you this morning, what are you focused on in your race? You see, Jesus is our chief example. Look what it says as we continue verse 2. Who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame. Why do we need to look at Jesus for example? Well, he is one who came down to earth, but he endured the cross. The pain that he went through after he was arrested and the false testimonies given about him. He was beaten. He was scourged. He went through suffering and he died on the cross for our sins. Isaiah 53 verse 5 says, but he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. And with his stripes, we are healed. You see, apart from Jesus, there would be no race to run. Apart from Jesus, there would be no relationship with God. But he paid that price for us on the cross. And when he said, it is finished, the price of our salvation was paid for. Let me tell you this, if you have not received Jesus Christ as your Savior, that is the only way to be saved from our sins. It's not by baptism. It's not by doing good works. It's great to give donations. It's great to be a part of serving and helping out. But those ways are not the way to have salvation. Ephesians 2, 8 and 9 says, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. He also says in John 14, 6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. But notice the rest of verse number 2. And is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. That was his victory. And we can live in victory because of what we have because of Christ. We can run our race and finish our course in victory. It's possible. We can do it. We can run well. But it's not because of us. 1 Corinthians 15:57. But thanks be to God which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. This is why we don't have to worry. This is why we do not have to fear. Because we have already been given the victory. But look what it says in verse number 3. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself. So we saw in verse 2 how our focus should be on Christ and everything that he went through. But then verse 3 talks about how we should consider all that Jesus went through. Think of the plan that Jesus had to fulfill in his race. For those who have seen racing, you know that each runner that participates in a race, they have the racing plan. They have the strategy of what to do at this point, and at this point. You see, God the Father, he had a plan, and Jesus fulfilled it. But think of what he went through just for a moment this morning. There were people who wouldn't believe on him. There were people who betrayed him. He had his disciples that were impatient. He had to face the Pharisees. Think about when he was on the cross. The first time that God the Father turned his back on Jesus as he was hanging on the cross. Think of the Garden of Gethsemane, how he said, if there's any other way, but he said, not as my will, but thine be done. See, it wasn't that Jesus didn't face opposition or struggles. As I think about that, I think, you know, he's God. He can do anything he wants. If anything, let him go through his ministry without any opposition, without any difficulties because of the cross that's coming up. But he still endured the journey to the cross, and he endured the cross. But as I was reading this, this truth came to mind that the more that we not only look to Jesus, but consider what Christ endured for you, the more that we realize, man, I can't do this on my own. I need God's strength to help me get through it. But notice the ending of this verse, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. See, these Hebrew believers, they were not tired physically. I believe that they were weary in their minds. But the answer was them not to just try harder, not to just give up, but for them to consider what Christ had done for them. Like what it says in verse number 4. The Bible says, ye have not yet resisted unto blood, striving against sin. Now, as I first read that verse, I was very confused. Because it seems like he's saying, hey, look to Jesus, focus on Christ. But then he goes, he pivots a little bit. And he says this verse, ye have not yet resisted unto blood, striving against sin. Paul's encouragement to them was not to belittle the suffering that they were going through. It's not to say that what they were going through was not important. What he's saying is that the suffering that you're going through right now, it hasn't cost you your life. It hasn't cost you what it cost Jesus in his race. And that's what he says in that verse. Ye have not yet resisted unto blood, striving against sin. You see, what he's trying to teach them is that you need to realize that in the midst of your persecution, God is still faithful. God is still good. You're still here. You're still alive. It hasn't cost you your life yet. And I'm thinking about this as Christians, as we go through this life, if we keep our eyes focused on Christ and when we consider what he has done for us and what he went through, then all of a sudden we start to remember how faithful God has been to us, how good he has been to us, how that we are here this morning, how that he has provided for us. Then we realize that specific situation that we're going through, I can get through it because of Christ. Again, it's not belittling what we're going through, but it's realizing, you know what? In the midst of my storm, in the midst of my difficulty, God is still good. And he will continue to be good. Now, this is a great transition as we go into the next few verses. Because as we look to Christ, we are reminded that the Christian life, it's not free from difficulty. But our attention shifts from our focus to Christ to now our relationship with Christ. Our final point this morning is our relationship. And look at the last three verses this morning. Look what it says in verse number 5. And ye have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as unto children. Now the author pivots again. He's saying you've forgotten something. You've forgotten the encouragement that he is about to mention right here. It says, as it continues, my son, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. Now, as we read that verse, we see two responses to this. We see, as it says, my son, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord. There were some people who were despising what they were going through. They became angry. They rejected it. But as we see in the rest of that verse, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. There were some that despised it, and there were some who were fainting, who were being discouraged, who were quitting. And the key for this verse is God does not call us to do any of those things. He doesn't call us to be upset when we are going through storms. He doesn't cause those storms to make us have to quit. But instead, we ought to trust our Father who is trying to correct us. So he refers to something that also mirrors, look what it says in verse number 6, for whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. The parallel to these verses is in Proverbs. Proverbs chapter 3, verses 11 and 12. The Bible says, my son, despise not the chastening of the Lord, neither be weary of his correction. For whom the Lord loveth, he correcteth, even as a father the son in whom he delighteth. So if we go back to verse 5, the encouragement that Paul is giving is that there are some of you who are being angry at God's correction. And there are some of you that the correction is causing you to quit and to be faint. But what these believers had forgotten was that the purpose of their corrections is because God, their Father, loves them. He loves us. So I think back to last week in the message about Paul and his disciples being, Peter and those disciples being in the boat during the storm. I'm sure Jesus loved them very much. And he knew exactly what he was doing when he sent them into that storm. And the storms that we experience in our lives, it's not because God doesn't love us. It's not because he wants us to quit. He wants us to run our race well. Amen. And he wants to correct us when we are going astray. One of the greatest misconceptions that we have as Christians is that when life gets difficult, oh, God must be angry with me. Oh, I must be doing something wrong. But you see, when he chastises us, it shows that he loves us. It's also an evidence that we belong to him because we are his children. But he wants us to run the race well. You see, God uses his word. He uses the other people. He uses the church to challenge us. And when we hear from God's word, whether that's in a small group, a Sunday school hour, or even the preaching of his word, and God speaks to us about something that we need to correct, what is our response in that? When he speaks, are we listening? Are we obeying what he has called us to do? So I began to think about this. You know, God is God. He can do anything he wants. Did you know that the storm that you are going through right now, he could remove it? He could. Whatever situation you're in, whatever difficulty you're going through, he can remove it. But he doesn't. And he hasn't. Why? Maybe there's something that he's trying to teach you in this storm. Maybe there's something that he's trying to correct you with in this storm. See, look what it says in verse 7. If ye endure chastening, God dealeth with you as with sons. For what son is he whom the Father chasteneth not? See, many of you that are parents, you understand this very well. You know, you don't correct your children because you hate them. You correct them because you love them. And as parents, you love them too much to want to see them stray down the wrong path. And it's the same way with our Heavenly Father. How much more does our Heavenly Father, who gave his life for us, who endured all that he went through for us, how much more does he love us to not want to see us go down the wrong path? You see, he is all-knowing. He understands what we went through, the Bible says. And many times there are things in our life that are keeping us from finishing well that we are still hanging on to. There are things in our lives that we think are going to aid us down the road. There are some things that we think that, oh, if I just hang on to this thing, then it'll help me. But without even knowing it, it's hindering us and distracting us from running our race. Maybe this morning it's a burden that you're carrying right now. Maybe it's worry about what's going to happen in the next week, the next year. Maybe it's fear for a decision that you have to make. Maybe you've been comparing yourself to someone else. Maybe there's a sickness that's constantly on your mind. I'm not sure what burden that is for you. But remember, the goal of this race is not to be the first to finish. The goal of this race is not to compare and look at what other people are doing and how other people are running their race. Our goal is to finish well and to run our race well. And if we are going to do that, we have to lay aside our weights. Just put those things away that are distracting us. It may not be sinful. It may be something that's profitable and good, but it's hindering you from those spiritual decisions that need to be made. Maybe you need to keep an eye on the sin that we've been struggling with. Remember, you're not the only one this morning. The Bible says we are all sinners. We all struggle. We all make mistakes. But hey, God is trying to correct us. He's trying to point us in that right direction. Our focus needs to be on him. The rest of this passage continues to speak about God's chastening. And there are some things that these Jewish believers had to get taken care of, because they had to continue to focus on Christ. But as we come to the end of this passage, I want you to personally think about the race that God has given to you. Not the one with the neighbor sitting beside you, not that other church member, just the individual race that God has called you to run. Some of you may be on a mountaintop this morning. Praise the Lord. That's awesome. Praise God for victory. Some of you, this may be one of the hardest seasons that you've ever experienced. Some of you may just feel like, you know what? I think I'm done. I'm just going to throw in the towel. It's too difficult. It's a struggle. Can I remind you of something this morning? God has not called you to quit. We sang about it this morning in Christ alone. He has the victory. He has the strength available to help us run this race. But not just run it, but to run it well. And if we are going to run our race well, we need to put aside those distractions and the temptations around us. We need to keep our eyes focused on Christ. But we also need to trust our Heavenly Father. When he puts on our hearts something that we need to correct, it's not the time to say, oh God, you don't know me that way. I'm fine with that. I don't have an issue with that. It's not the time to think that we know better than God. It's the time to trust him and say, God, please help me. I want to run well. Help me make those corrections that I need to make. Help me to run this race in your strength. What was it that Paul said in our final verse this morning, 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 7? This is what he said at the end of his life. I tell you, every time that I personally read this verse, I always get convicted. This is what Paul said. He said, I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. If I were to ask myself right now, if my life ended right now, it's convicting to think, would I be able to say that? Would I be able to say that I have fought a good fight? Would I be able to say that I have finished my course? Would I be able to say I have kept the faith? What about you? In the race that God has called you to do, would you be able to say that? I'll tell you, the goal that I believe is on each and every one of our hearts this morning is that one day we get to hear the words, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Amen. I tell you, every time I just think about that possibility, the God of the universe, our Heavenly Father, saying to us, well done, thou good and faithful servant. I tell you, if we want to hear that, we can't be distracted by what's around us. When God corrects us and challenges us about something, hey, let's get it right. Let's trust our Father this morning, because it's only through him that we can run our race well. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Let's have a time of invitation this morning. Let's all stand as we have this time. Just a few questions I would like to ask you. First of all, are you here this morning and you do not have a relationship with God? I don't know what's going on in your life this morning, but I can tell you this morning that Jesus loves you. We read the verse that he endured the cross, despising the shame. Why did he go through all of that? It was for you. He loved you personally. He died for you. And his desire is to have a relationship with you. See, he is the source, he is the author, he is the finisher of our faith, and he is the only way for us to go to heaven. And it's by placing our faith and trust in him alone. How many of you will say, Brother Ben, I'm here this morning and I do not believe I have a relationship with God. I do not believe that I am saved this morning from my sin. If that's you, every head bowed, every eye closed, I just want to pray for you this morning. No one's looking around. If you could just raise your hand, I'll pray for you this morning. If you would like to trust Jesus as your Savior this morning, you can do that. You put your hands down. Christians, I want you just for a moment to think about the race that you're in right now. Have you become distracted? Are you carrying weights God never intended you to carry? Is there sin that's been tripping you up in this race? Maybe you start out well. Maybe your focus, maybe it was on Christ, but then through the months, through the years, it's kind of drifted. How many of you will say, Pastor Ben, my desire is I want to run my race well? If that's you this morning, we just raise your hand this morning. I want to run my race well. My hand is up as well. If that's you this morning and you would say, there's something that I want to get right with God. Maybe I've been drifting. Maybe I've been carrying weights. Maybe I've been distracted. If that's you, you can give that to God this morning. Something like, God, I'm sorry. I'm sorry I've been distracted. I want to run my race well. If that's you, the altar is open. There are people up here in the front who would love to pray with you. The altar is open. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for the message from your word. Father, I pray that each and every one of us would run our race well. I pray that we wouldn't get distracted with what's going on around us, but that we would keep our focus on you. I pray that we would rely on your strength every single day. I pray and ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.